Welcome to the Pooch Parenting Podcast, a podcast for parents with dogs. I'm Michelle Stern, a certified professional dog trainer, mom, and former teacher. Living with kids and dogs at the same time can feel like a circus. I know because I lived it too. Join us as we interview a variety of experts and parents to discuss topics that will make parenting with dogs easier, safer, and less chaotic. Also, you can love living with your dog again. I'll always keep it real, which might even mean that you hear the messiness of life in the background on occasion, but at least you know you're not alone.
In today's episode, I will be reading you two questions that I received from potential clients. One is from a parent, and the other is from a colleague of mine, a fellow dog trainer. And both of them wanted to ask me about three-year-old children who were bitten in the face by the family dog. Each of them are a completely different type of scenario, but they both have similar underlying causes. And so what I wanted to do today is read you each question and dive in a little bit and see if I can make some sense out of what happened in each of these scenarios so that you, my listeners, can hopefully avoid similar problems in the future. So here is the parent question. Hi, Michelle. I just came across your page and I'm wondering if we can get some advice or guidance. My sister-in-law got a puppy around 7 weeks old. He was sweet as can be, but always had some separation issues. He is an Aussie Shepherd and is about 10 weeks old now. My sister-in-law said her three-year-old daughter kept hitting him while he was sleeping or just laying there. She would just walk up and hit him. And now he is growling and he bit her daughter in the face recently. From what I was Googling, could this be fear related? She doesn't think in that short of a time that it was her daughter that made him mean. She thinks that he's just a mean puppy. My mom now has the puppy. It was best for both the daughter and the puppy for them to be separated. Do you have any advice? She said she has worked with her daughter on hitting him. So this, obviously, when I get questions like this from people, they innocently send me these stories and hope that I will answer them just in a comment back or in an email back. But I do need you to understand, listeners, that I can't just answer every question that comes to me. And most of them are really complex, and it would be absolutely unfair and inappropriate for me to respond simply by typing out a quick answer. These kinds of things generally deserve a consult, and you can absolutely book a consult with me. I always start with a 1 hour long consult that I call a jumpstart consult, where we get to know each other and we decide if we want to work together. And I really dive in and we get to figure out what's going on in any given scenario. But what I'm doing now is I am taking a few of these questions that are similar enough that I get often enough, and I'm devoting a podcast episode to them. So it's the next best thing to a consult. I still can't dive in as deep as I would in a session, partly because I can't ask questions live and get the responses. So this is me making my best educated guesses, I guess, about what happened because I wasn't there and I couldn't see it. So I have to go based on just this little bit of information. So let's talk about some of these things. And I'm going to break down her question into a couple of different parts. So first of all, she got a puppy when it was 7 weeks old, which is actually too young generally for puppies to be separated from their litter mates. So I would question where she got the puppy from and why the puppy was released from its litter mates at such a young age. Puppies do often learn what we call bite inhibition by living with their siblings longer. And so oftentimes puppies go home anywhere between 8 and 10 weeks of age. And I know it doesn't sound that different. What's the difference between 7 weeks and maybe 8 or 9 weeks? But I'm telling you that in those last few weeks that those litter mates are together, they are biting a lot and they're biting each other and they're understanding what it feels like to be bitten too hard. And they learn how to communicate with one another about what they like and what they don't like. And they learn how to bite each other in play in ways that don't cause damage and that don't make their litter mates, avoid them at all costs. And so when you get a puppy home that is 7 weeks old, it has to learn those types of behaviors with you, the human family members. And when you've got a toddler at home, toddlers don't understand that puppies are not mean. And some parents don't understand that puppies aren't mean, that they're just trying to learn how to navigate the world. And just like babies put things in their mouth to figure things out, so do puppies. This is a very common way of them learning, you know, what objects are and what's edible and what's not edible and what feels good and what feels bad, etc. So first of all, I would say that this puppy went home too young. So she's saying that the puppy is now 10 weeks old. So yeah, so we're still in prime biting phase. I have a puppy right now. She is 14 weeks old. And I admit I got her home when she was 9 weeks old. And she had litter mates and they were wrestling hard when I went to pick her up. And it was really fun to watch them learn those dynamics. But I would say that the first 10 days or so that she was home with us were pretty brutal because she had to learn that the behavior that she was doing with her litter mates is not behavior that she could do with us. And so we were constantly redirecting her, limiting her access to us when she was being too bitey, and learning to recognize that when she got really bitey, she was actually telling us that she needed something. In most of those cases, what she needed was a nap or she needed to go potty. All right, let's dive in to the next point of her question. My sister-in-law said her three-year-old kept hitting him while he was sleeping or laying there. She would just walk up and hit him. And now he is growling and recently bit her daughter in the face. I can't blame the dog for this. It's totally inappropriate to allow your toddler to hit a puppy. We need to work with our kids to prevent them from hitting dogs. Now, a three-year-old is not at a developmental stage where you can be logical with her. You can't just explain why we don't hit puppies. We can't just talk about the golden rule, you know, you wouldn't want to be hit when you were sleeping, so you shouldn't hit the puppy. They don't understand that. That's not developmentally appropriate. And so we may be, quote, working on hitting with our child, but if you're not making any progress that way, which frankly, I would be surprised if you were, then you need to be the adult in the room and set up some boundaries and physical barriers to prevent access. So there is zero reason that a three-year-old should ever have access to a sleeping or resting puppy, or even frankly, a really wild and playing puppy. There really should be separation between toddlers and puppies much of the time, because it's kind of like letting a toddler loose with your set of knives. Puppy teeth are sharp and they can hurt children, not intentionally, but their puppies are babies too. It's like you have two toddlers, but one of them is sharper, right? And so we need to prevent damage from being done, both emotionally and physically. So if you are not sitting in between the puppy and the toddler, then they have absolutely no business being together. And I know this sounds pretty harsh and pretty militant, which I generally try not to do, but there is zero excuse to have a toddler hitting a puppy at all. So the fact that the puppy started growling meant that the puppy was communicating his discomfort. He was saying, dude, back off. What you're doing is inappropriate. I don't like it. And growling is communication and it's awesome. And you should absolutely tell your dog, thank you for telling me how you feel. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I missed it. I turned my back for a second and she hit you and I'm so sorry. I'm not going to let that happen again. So the growling should be an indicator to you that you let your guard down, you need to do better, and you need to prevent this from happening. The fact that the dog started growling and then bit the child means that the adult in the room wasn't listening. And so the dog gave a warning sign. And then that was disregarded. And so then the dog took action to protect himself. And I don't blame him. Now, is it okay that a dog bit a toddler in the face? No, it's not okay. But it was avoidable. It was absolutely avoidable. But does it mean that this is a mean dog? No, it is a living creature with feelings who is stepping up and advocating for himself because the human in the house, the adult human in the house, was not doing that for him. Now, again, I hope I'm not sounding too harsh. I generally try really hard not to blame anybody. But in this case, I think they let this puppy down. They allowed this puppy to be mistreated by this child. Now, does this make the puppy a mean puppy? Is this puppy always going to bite children? Well, I don't know. This puppy is in a sensitive developmental period, and it's possible that now this puppy distrusts toddlers because toddlers and this puppy together do not have a nice, pleasant learning history. Puppies generally, though, can be very resilient. And so it's possible that if they worked really hard to try to repair the relationship by only having positive interactions between the two of them moving forward, it's possible that this puppy may no longer see this toddler as a threat or see all toddlers as a threat. But it's going to take a lot of vigilance on the part of any adults who are present to make sure that the child stays safe, that the child doesn't keep making mistakes like hitting the dog, because kids and dogs both repeat what they practice. So if a child thinks it's okay to go up and hit a dog, then the child will keep doing that kind of behavior. And that's not behavior that you want to practice, because you don't want to live with a child that thinks hitting is okay. So you need to step up and set boundaries. Also, you have to prevent the dog from making a mistake, because at the end of the day, if this was a big dog, if this was an adult dog and it was repeatedly protecting itself and biting kids in the face, I suspect the dog would be euthanized, because dogs that bite children don't have a very long lifespan. Most people don't want to live with a dog that bites children in the face, and I can't say that I blame them. But we also have to look at our own responsibility in this type of situation and see if this could have been avoided. And in this case, it absolutely could have been. So this woman asks next, she says, from what I was Googling, could this be fear related? She doesn't think that in such a short time, the daughter made him mean. Okay, fear related, possibly. It could be that the dog was trying to protect himself because he was afraid of being hit again. And so when a dog often reaches up and bites a child, then that causes distance to happen between them. Because if the child gets bitten, then it's likely that the child will stop hitting and will back away, which achieves the goal that the dog had, which was to be safe again, right? And if the child backs away, then the dog is safer in that moment. No, I don't think that the daughter made him mean, but the daughter gave him a negative experience that the puppy felt he had to respond to. I would absolutely not say that he's a mean puppy. You can't just make that assumption, because everybody can have a good day and everybody can have a bad day. So this is a bit of a mindset shift that parents often have to consider, that dogs absolutely are not robots. They absolutely will use their teeth if they feel compelled to, and they have every right to. Do we want to live with a dog that's going to use its teeth? No, we probably don't. So we need to revisit the best situation. Getting an Australian Shepherd, which is an intense working breed with a ton of energy, when you don't have a ton of experience understanding dog behavior and you have a toddler, to me is a bad choice. And I think that if this family really wants a dog, then they could consider adopting a mature adult dog who is calm and who is maybe easier to manage than such a young puppy. But I do think that it's possible that this family should reevaluate whether or not having a dog while they have a toddler is a good idea if they can't prevent their toddler from harming the dog, because that's not fair and it's inappropriate. I know I was a little bit harsh with this parent question. I do want to let you all know that I have a new freebie about growling, and I do think that it can offer some really great tips on how to understand your dog and how to respond. The freebie is called The ABCs of Growling, and you can get it on my website under the free resources section, and I will also link to it in the show notes below. I think it's something that every parent needs to know so that we can avoid bites in the future. All right, now we're going to dive into the next question, which is from one of my colleagues. I often get referrals from colleagues who are not comfortable working on cases that have children, or sometimes colleagues will bring me on to do a consult with them or to partner with them as they work with a client who has children. So if this ever relates to you, feel free to reach out and I'm happy to support you. I also have a membership for dog professionals called the Pooch Parenting Coach Collective that offers ongoing support, and we discuss cases and I give handouts that you can use with your clients if you see clients who have children and you'd like some more support with that. But in this case, this is a woman that I have helped in the past with another client, and she's basically sending me a message saying that she'd like to send me a referral because this case is a little bit prickly and makes her uncomfortable. So she starts out by telling me that she heard from a family that adopted a poodle mix and they also have a 3-year-old child and that the dog nipped at the child. Then she tells me that she's doesn't know too many details. She was going to talk with them and then figure out if they were going to refer the case to me. So here is her follow-up with me after she spoke to the woman on the phone. She says, the dog was newly adopted and is a poodle cross. In its prior home, it was somewhat neglected, which they determined because the dog was matted at the time of the time that the dog was rescued. The rescue gave very little information, but did say that the dog lived with an older gentleman who became diabetic and could no longer care for the dog. Given the dog's age, which was also 3 years old, I'm guessing that little to no socialization because of COVID happened. The client is married with 1 3-year-old at home. She is a special needs teacher, so she, quote, understands behavior, in her words. Initially, the dog was fearful of her husband, has since gotten used to the husband a little bit, but will still growl at him. And the dog has also been, quote, nipping at their legs or sleeves for attention. The dog recently nipped the 3-year-old daughter 3 times, twice to the face, 1 broke skin, and 1 to her backside. The daughter is, quote, impulsive and wants to hug and kiss him. So they have separated him. My colleague then told the family that this is a high-risk situation, and the woman says that she wants to keep the dog without question. Okay, so this is somewhat similar to the question that I got earlier that we already talked about, but it's kind of interesting. So they just adopted this dog and they don't really have a relationship with the dog yet. So I'm going to say something again. This feels like a really harsh episode and I apologize, but I am going to say something pretty intense here, which is that if the dog has bitten the child twice in the face and is a newly adopted dog to your family, then to me, it sounds a little bit like this client is prioritizing this new dog that she doesn't even have a relationship with over the safety of her own child. And to me, that's a little bit questionable. Now, again, I'm going to revisit a couple of things. It is really hard to rehome a dog that has bitten a child in the face. There's always the hope that you can adopt out a dog to someone who does not have children. We always joke about the ideal home in the woods with a single person who has no friends, and that those homes are good for fearful dogs who bite people. But those types of homes are very few and far between. And so we have to think about what our responsibility is about placing dogs in the community where they may cause harm to others. I'm not saying that this dog would go out and bite people, but it is possible that this dog might have a happier life living somewhere without children. But also, even if you do not have children, there are children in the world. And so if this dog does go out into the community, this dog will need to be heavily managed because the dog is somewhat fearful or reactive to children, probably because of what children have done to it in the past. So we have to think about whether or not, this dog can have a good outcome. And I absolutely think that this dog might be okay once it feels safe and once it has time to adapt to its new circumstances, we need to sometimes put ourselves into the shoes of these newly adopted dogs and realize what a huge change it is to their life, that it lived with an older man who probably was quite consistent and likely had a fairly calm household. You thrust that dog into a home with a three-year-old who's very unpredictable and likely noisy, because that's how three-year-olds are. But that's a really big change, especially if this dog did not have proper socialization due to COVID times when people were home and didn't get out much. So now this dog has a lot more input, a lot of sensory input, a lot of noise, a lot of activity, and that's a lot to adapt to. Now, if the dog was matted when it was rescued, we need to consider that this dog may be in pain. You know, sometimes when a dog is matted, the fur as it knots together pulls the skin really tight and causes a lot of pain. So I'm assuming that the dog is no longer matted. It was probably cared for and groomed before this family got it. But I don't really know the timeline here, and I don't know if the dog is still uncomfortable, and I don't know if the dog was given a really thorough veterinary exam to identify if there were any other health issues, such as a sore tooth or, you know, other kinds of injuries that might make this three-year-old dog less tolerant of living in its new family. So we need to think about that as well. So whenever I see a dog biting, I generally start with a vet visit to rule out anything that makes the dog just feel bad overall. So this is what I would recommend to start with. I love that this woman is a special needs teacher, but I do want to say, you know, if she says she understands behavior, but is still allowing the child to have access to the dog where the dog can bite the child in the face, then there is some kind of a disconnect between the understanding behavior and actually implementing safe and management strategies to each family member. Now, in this case, I think it's really possible that this dog is acting out of fear. This child is probably scary and unpredictable. And if the daughter is impulsive and wants to hug and kiss him, and he doesn't have the opportunity to offer consent to that kind of interaction, he's most likely trying to protect himself. And so I love the fact that she did separate them, and that was the responsible, appropriate thing to do. I wish that she had separated them before the dog bit the child, and that she had noticed the communication and the signs of stress that the dog was exhibiting before the dog felt compelled to bite the child. But I have to say, you don't know what you don't know, and I don't know the level of dog behavior experience this family has. And it's possible that she is hoping for the best, like most families do, and doesn't really recognize that this dog possibly has trauma or fear or a prior learning history that can impact its behavior around her child. So she's saying she wants to keep the dog without question. I really love that she is dedicated, but I also think that she should be realistic and realize that the health and safety of her child really matters, and the health and safety, physical and emotional safety, of the dog also really matters. And if the dog is miserable in this house because it's living in a constant state of fear, then I think keeping the dog without question may not actually be the honorable thing to do. We really need to evaluate the dog's quality of life. And sometimes when people adopt a dog, especially one with a traumatic past, there is a little bit of feeling that you're saving it. And in reality, you may just be putting it in another difficult situation. And I know that people really want to do what's best and they want to help the dog, absolutely. But if this dog is living in a super stressed out state all the time, then keeping this dog without question may really not be the right approach. It's not fair to the dog, and it may not be fair to her child. It is really hard to manage super impulsive toddlers. And oftentimes, in addition to baby gates or pens, we need to have multiple layers of protection, right? Sometimes toddlers are really good at parkour. They can figure out how to climb over gates or figure out how to get around them. And they're so clever at problem solving. And it's literally impossible to watch all the time. And it puts a lot of stress on parents who feel that they have to constantly have their eyes on the child and the dog at all times. And it is exhausting. And it's for this reason that if you have a dog that has already shown that it is uncomfortable around the child, that you take a lot of extra precautions to make sure that the child can't make a mistake. One thing to also consider from a parenting perspective is that if you've got a child, then it is possible that moving forward into the future, you want to host birthday parties and you want to host play dates. And if you've got a dog in your house that is a bite risk to other children, then that's also a liability issue that you need to consider. So I would encourage families that have a dog who has a bite history that they just really evaluate what level of risk they're willing to take when they invite people over, because you're potentially opening yourself up to legal ramifications if you know that your dog has bitten people in the past and you continue to invite people into your home. Because it's possible that someone will not latch your baby gate or someone will leave a door open accidentally and that dog can get out. So is it manageable? Yes, it absolutely is. Can you do it by yourself? Probably not. And I would really encourage you to hire a positive reinforcement dog professional. In this case, ideally someone who really understands kids. So someone like me or a colleague of mine who has experience working with families who really understands what your life is like. And I would also encourage you to really dive in and learn how to understand and respond to your dog. And again, I'll mention my newest freebie, which is called the ABCs of Growling, how to understand and respond to your dog, because it talks about warning signs and what to do about them. And again, you can get that in the show notes below. So sorry that today's episode was not warm and fuzzy, but sometimes people need to hear the stuff that's hard to hear. And you don't know what you don't know. And I am here to help you make progress, help you keep the dogs physically and emotionally safe, and help keep kids physically and emotionally safe. Because when a child has been bitten by a dog, then it may color all of their future experiences and impressions of dogs. And that's really not what we're looking for when we're trying to raise kids and dogs at the same time. I hope you found this helpful and educational. Feel free to reach out. Also, feel free to email me if you've got questions that you would like me to address on a future podcast episode. Take care. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and review it on your favorite podcast player. But even better, please tell people about Pooch Parenting, because so many people don't know that support like this exists. In particular, you can tell your obstetrician, your pediatrician, and all of your friends from your mother's groups. Nobody needs to do this alone. I'm here for you. Again, for more information, please visit poochparenting.net. And just know that it does take a village, and I'm here to support you all the way. Take care, and thanks again for listening.